Hey family, what's up? It's your girl, your hostess with the mostest. I realized that I hadn't said that any this season, or like majority of us, but it's your hostess with the mostest, Chase Clark, and I'm back for another part in the masterclass series. This is actually the last episode. And just to recap what the masterclass was all about, I was just really finding myself inspired by all the great people who are in my community doing so many wonderful things, and I wanted to give them an opportunity to come and talk about their lives. And within their lives, there were such great, profound stories and lessons that I just felt needed to be heard. So this is just a continuation of that, but it's a little different this time. And I'm here with my mom, which is super timely because this all started with her. She was one of the first episodes, she was in the first series, and then talked to her a little bit in the second. So I think she's just a staple of a good series at this point, and a lot of people love to hear her ideas and things like that. So I just thought we'd end with her, but in true Chase and mom fashion, she will actually be interviewing me, which always gets great reception from everyone else, but not for me. So y'all join me in welcoming my mom today. Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I'm still out of breath. Y'all, listen, I ran up the stairs before this, so I'm still like getting my thoughts together. And I told her while we were in the car on the way over here that I was super duper tired. So this episode is just a combination of a lot of feelings, but yeah, I'm here. That's what I am.
Yeah, you are here, and I'm glad that you are, because we have a lot to unpack, today. Mm-hmm. I sort of went back in time, Chase, because it's been really evident to us that we have almost stumbled upon a whole year.
Yeah.
Since we began this journey. And I say we because when you first brought it to me, as I've mentioned in several conversations and even perhaps on the podcast, when you brought the idea to me, I think I said I needed to owe you an apology, because when you brought it to me, I thought it was just another teen idea, and it was so much more than that.
Well, to interject really quickly, it honestly probably would have been if I would not have gotten the reception that I did. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Because I do find that I have a hard time with, like, committing to things. And it's not so much that I'm, like, scared of commitment. I think that I just see so much potential in so many things that it's just kind of hard for me to become one with the idea of like just doing one thing or being known for one thing.
Yeah.
So when the podcast started, I definitely always start my ideas with like a big goal of like, yeah, I'll continue it for like the next 10, 30, 50 years for like the rest of my life. It always starts like that. And then as I get into it, you know, when the difficulties and the challenges start coming, I definitely have to like
reassess.
Yeah. And like, yeah, reassess my plan and everything like that. But I think one of the things that has kept me going doing the Renaissance Project is just how much it's like helped me.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, I know it's helped others, but as opposed to it helping others, I think something that you can relate to yourself, it just produces longevity, especially in projects that are yours.
Yeah, I totally get that. And before we go any further, this series has been a lot different for me from the standpoint of being a listener of and follower of your podcast. It used to be a time where I would get the scoop. I would know what was to come, and I would know, you know, exactly. You know, we'll sort of bounce ideas, even though it was primarily your idea and your journey. you would still pop in and say, hey, what about this? This time around, it was not the case. One thing I did want to ensure that we did do, and while we're sort of closing out this particular series, I thought it would be most befitting that if we're doing a masterclass series, that you be included. I mean, how could you not? I don't say that today. I'm always mom, but primarily today I'm interviewer because I'm geeked about even getting to know you more. I know that may sound just a little bit off to the viewers because she introduced me as mom, but what we're learning about each other as we both grow is the fact that we're both changing and evolving. Mm-hmm. So I started at series one and worked my way back and to get just a chance to really review the changes of your voice, which we talked about today. But we talked about also, I just wanted to hear how you've grown through this journey. And it has been phenomenal. It has been phenomenal. And I often ask God, because we get down like that, I ask him a lot to please allow me to be alive to see my children excel, all three of you, but and my grands and maybe my great grands. We'll see how I'm doing by the end. But but I definitely want to talk to you about this masterclass series, which was just amazing. I am talking a whole lot because it's a lot to unpack. Like I said, we started back with our first episode with you and I, and I listened to it because one thing that I can appreciate about the podcast journey is the fact that we can resort back to it at any time.
Yeah, I love that.
And we can see growth. And I was checking myself because you were holding me accountable at the table and sort of laying out what was to come. And I'm very blessed and happy to say that, you know, the book that we talked about was published.
Yeah.
The Selena at Your Service is in full gear. And just a lot that we really talked about, it was sort of something for me to chuckle at, but I really appreciated that. But I'm getting back to you and this podcast journey where we started with myself and then we went to Jasmine and Ariel and India, and you just introduced some phenomenal pieces to the puzzle, which heavily navigated around the area of Greensboro. So we focused on just so many topics, and some made us laugh, some made us cry, some made us, you know, think, some made us ponder, some made us have some hard discussions. I had friends that contacted me like, whoa, wait a minute. And I just think that it's refreshing to see from your perspective how to sort of look at things. Like you bring us all to a stand at your attention type mode when it's Thursday mornings. I don't know, Dad or myself, we wake up and it's like, okay, it's Thursday, right? And so everybody goes into the mode of it's Renaissance Day. And when you don't have a new podcast, them jokers be texting like, whoa, we don't have a new series today? Mm. I'm like, if you donate, we can get some more of those jokers cracked out.
No, really, but facts. Seriously.
But I am just elated to be here today to talk about the journey and to talk about the layers of Chase. I think I was thinking about just like when preachers get up, sometimes they have a subject and sometimes they don't. But my topic for you is the topic or subject for today, if you will, is the manifestation of you.
Guys, if you didn't know, she's really a writer, guys. She's really a writer in these streets.
I see how this is getting ready to go. No, so this one is not a classic Renaissance conversation.
No.
But I'm going to start with my first thing. I want to talk to you about just you, okay? Mm-hmm. She has no idea, by the way, what I'm about to say what I'm about to unload on her. So Chase Clark, right? I think you know some background because you know me, where we came up with it. But do you know what the meaning of your name is?
I do some of it.
What is it?
Chase, I don't remember.
It's Huntsman.
Oh, I do remember.
What is
guys,
it?
Guys, I put that in my college essay and I remember. I promise I remember that. Chase is Hunter. Alexandria, which is my middle name if you didn't know, is Defender of Men. And Alexandra is too. And Clark is my last name.
Yeah, it's just a strong name. And so we wanted to make sure that when you did hit these streets, you weren't classified in a way. They would not know if you were male or female.
I'm an ambiguous guy.
Yeah, I wanted that. It was so on purpose. Your dad has a similar situation, but I think it's the coolest thing ever to have that. But you are living up to your name. And I just think that the emphasis that's placed in each one of us, it really starts with our name, but I think it's the coolest thing. But my question to you is, after each show, do you feel like a weight has been lifted? Is it the same pressures that you felt at the beginning, or now do you just do them and like, okay, next, or what?
The latter suggestion, definitely. In the beginning, like, and it's funny, I don't think people know this. I think you know this, but I said that I very rarely listen to the episodes. So, like, most of them, if you went on, like, Apple Podcasts or something, most of them would be like, do you want to listen to this episode? And, you know, in part, you know, I listen to them when they do edits and stuff like that. And then after that, I just kind of let them sit.
Why is that, though?
Why? One, because I still don't really care for the sound of my voice.
Really?
I just don't. I don't. Mm-mm. Yeah. I think that's just like such a weird dynamic, but I don't really care for the sound of my voice all the way yet. I've definitely gotten more comfortable, and especially the beginning ones, the beginning episodes, just because, you know, in the second series we talked about I forget the word for it, and it's on the tip of my tongue, but you know how black people, you know, have to kind of form into the environment. Mm-hmm. And so that sometimes calls for them to change the way that they speak or mm-hmm. change the way that they look or something like that. So in the beginning of the series, like, I kind of have this like weird about them because you can just kind of hear my voice is a lot higher. And I think that's just one part of just growing. Like, my voice has just gotten deeper. And then another part of it is just like you can kind of hear me trying to present a different way, I mm-hmm. guess. So before, I just had a lot of pressure of like, oh, what is this, like, how can I present this, the, you know, what is this going to be today, how am I gonna, it was just like a lot of pressure that I put on myself that probably didn't need to be put on. Mm-hmm. And then I guess as the series continued, especially after I did the last series, which was all about me, I just kind of was like, well, it is going to be what it is. And that's just been my philosophy on life as of late, which is good and bad, I guess, sometimes, depending on how you look at it. But just to answer your question, in the beginning, I would say it's a lot more pressure. And whenever I would get done, I'd be like, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
You know? But now it's just like, well, okay.
I think a lot of that's your fault, though. Because you bought on some people, like people, people. I thought we were going to have some little Tinker Toys in here. Not but Tinker honey, Toys.
Oh, my goodness.
You had, you know, you brought fire. And I was so thankful as a mom that they said yes. So many people that you introduced me to as well. And it's just been a beautiful journey.
That's been my favorite part. Especially meeting people that I didn't know before. And actually, Brody challenged me to do that because prior to, like, when I had the outline for the series, I had, like, this long, long, long list of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I could still find it. It's in one of my beginning notebooks. And I had, like, a long list of people that I was looking at to come on the show. And all of them were people that I was already acquainted with. And then when it came to Ariel, I'd seen her on Instagram, like, everywhere. Mm-hmm. For a couple of months, and I'd already been like watching her, but I didn't like follow her very closely. And then it was, I think, the release of her book or something that mm-hmm. she released, and I followed her. And then I was like, oh, she would be perfect. And then came the, oh, shoot, Chase, you have to, like, reach out to her. And so that was really nerve-wracking, but it definitely gave me the confidence to continue forward. And now it's, like, kind of funny because now I just love reaching out to people on Instagram and stuff like that because I just like to see who's going to answer, who's not. And everyone's usually pretty personable. But I think, you know, when you, like you said, when you go into it with people with such high, like, I'm going to say stature, but with such, you know, an audience already, a base, and they're already doing their thing in their own respective way, I think that can definitely be intimidating.
But you understand so why many of them said yes, right?
Yes, and we talk about often that, you know, now I see it better than I did then, I guess, that...
No. Don't skip over it. Why do they say yes?
Well, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. You know I'm impatient.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know. I was saying, I see it now better than I did then that I think... Or I would hope that a lot of them do see me as, like, their equal in some type of way, as in, you know, I'm doing my own thing, respectively, and I think that I'm doing it well. That's not really up for opinion in my world.
Yeah.
So like, I think, when they saw it, I think it would have definitely been different if I came with an atmosphere of, like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
But I think one thing that I can appreciate about myself is that even when I don't know what I'm doing or I'm feeling kind of nervous about something, for the most part, I will do that pretty gracefully. Like, even if I fail nowadays, I'm just kind of like, wow, again, it is what it is. Yeah. So I think I even do that pretty confidently. So I do think it kind of does come down to, like, how you present things and how you do things.
Yeah.
'Cause I talked to Landon a lot about, like, people, I think I'm just, like, attracted to people in general with a certain kind of, like,
flow,
air of, like, I know that I'm, you know, that person. And I think that confidence is just very intriguing to me. So from working with people like that and talking to people like that, I would like to think that their energy has kind of rubbed off on me in a way.
Yeah, I agree.
You have it too, and Dad has it too.
Yeah, well, one thing that I'm going to go back to, Ariel told us while she was here that if it doesn't scare you, it's not big enough.
Yeah.
And I know that you truly live by that. And also the great Marcus Thomas, he reminds us all the time about the hustle. You got to have that hustle, right? And so people respect it, I think. And you're right. I think it did unfold itself in a way where people were like, wait, she is serious and this is something that I can get down with. I know that you were going crazy about every one of your guests when you had Kathy and Ziddy and you had AJ and Marcus and you were like, Mom, guess who said yes? And you know,
that was
and
really fun.
Dr. Fry. I mean, you just rolled them out, Chief James, and I mean, you... At the time when I started backwards, I was like, wait a minute, she was a junior in high school. And I have been praying all week about, I can't get up there and not have something, because last time I came unprepared. I really thought it was a Tinker Toy thing. I keep saying it, but, you know, I came in and I saw what Brody had and I saw the mics and the headphones and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Perhaps I did not do... the preparation.
But one thing I do remember is when I was starting, I was looking all this stuff up. I was like, how to get a mic, how to get a headset, and you were like, no. We're gonna do this correctly to start off with, if nothing else. We're gonna, you remember, Brody? And so we started going through that whole research process of finding someone.
It was a project.
That process and project of finding someone who could help me facilitate the idea that I had. And, you know, most people, when they come in, it's been like such a trip. When they come in, they're like, you know, I've been on podcasts before, but I've never been in a studio like this.
Yeah.
And so that, like,
it's master class. shout out to
Brody. But, you know, that also just makes me feel like, yeah, like, yeah. Yes, I do have a studio. I do work out of a studio, and that just, you know, gives you a different type of confidence, I guess.
It does. And I think it just shows you just the level of importance that you placed on it, right? Mm. Because, you know, again, I did not know exactly what was to come, but I knew once I had the honor of sitting in on an episode, I saw you do the work. I saw you do the research. I saw, you know, you saving your money so you could pay for studio time. I saw that you were very proactive and protective of your material. And it just did not feel right to me not to make sure that, you know, Dad and I felt that. And he too, I think when he came in the studio, it gave a different presence than what we had imagined in our own minds. But I wanted to put a few words together to perhaps share with you words that and feedback that I've received. And also when we hear about the Renaissance Project, the Black Girls Movement, what comes to mind? You are, and why this, in my opinion, and many others will find that, why it should be on the master class level.
Okay.
You are specific and embracing. You give so much to the culture. It's positivity. You bring an authenticity to the show. You show us topics that hurt. You show us topics that make us realize new things. You introduce us to new ways of thinking. You're refreshing. You're best representation because you bridge the gaps between the young and the old. You are a beautiful blessing. You're courageous. Your conversation disrupts the pattern. You take risks and chances. You infuse the conversation with delightful laughs, your tone of your voice, and you honor who you are, and you honor us as a people. And a matter of fact, I'm going to break it up because I'm going to cry. Yeah, we say it on everyone.
I'm not crying today.
You say that like every time. Mm-hmm. I think you just built, but sometimes, like, seriously, I just don't like you because every time I think I have you figured out, I don't anymore. That, like, bothers me as a parent.
Yeah, it bothers me as a person, too. I feel the same way about myself.
And with that, you give us all permission to be who we are. That's what you've scheduled. That's what you've, the standard that you've set. And that's who you are. And thanks, we all guys. Thank you for that. A Shakespearean quote that when I hear it, naturally, I think of you. You know what it is?
No.
It is heavy. It's several versions, but basically it's heavy is the head that wears the crown. Do you know what that is?
What do you mean?
Do you know what it means when I say that?
Yeah.
Talk to me about it. Is it heavy to wear it?
No.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. You're asking hard questions, guys. No, well, I guess I just, like, this whole moment right now of you, you know, reading those remarks and that quote is just kind of uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's, though, Chase, because for so long, you've just been
okay,
like...
Okay, guys, maybe I won't cry, guys.
You've just been elevating people all your life. Like, you don't know, like, another way. Some people could look at it as a burden, but I think you look at it as a true part of who you are. Even though you don't necessarily ask, I think our assignments that God gives us, you know, we can either choose to abide or we can look away. I think that your unselfish nature just creeps in even on this podcast. Everybody knows, I think Dana was he gave you your age, because it was actually on one of the podcasts. So that tells you he was listening to the podcast and knows your story. But you were around seven when you came to us about it. I don't want to really get into the Chase's Chance piece of it because it's not what we're here to do. But I think if we're talking about the totality of who you are, it has to be a part of the conversation. But just, you know, hearing the conversations and the responses from people as they came on your show, it really did bother me in some ways that I didn't truly take the time to listen to people. Like, I talk at you a lot, but I don't listen. And that this podcast has really helped me reframe how I look at my relationships with people. So when you get into people's stories, that is growth and healing for a lot of us. Like, have you ever thought about it in that way?
No. I don't think of things too multidimensionally, if that makes sense. I think, like, when I'm doing these podcasts, mm-hmm. I would like to say that I'm really, like, thinking of all the people that are listening, but I think that's been the great thing for me is, like, I'm not. Mm-hmm. It's just making things that make me feel good about it, mm-hmm. Talking to people that interest me, mm-hmm. talking about things that interest me. I remember when I was talking to you about the fourth series where I was talking all about me, and I was like, well, you know, it's gonna be for other people. I mean, other people are gonna listen, but it's not really for them.
Right.
And you were kind of like, well, you gotta think about the audience and what they, but you know, and at the time, of course, I respected that opinion, but in the same like breath, I was just kind of like, well, who cares, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that I'm not grateful for the people who do listen or who don't. But, you know, actually, I was telling you earlier that I've been watching a bunch of documentaries about different artists, different musical artists specifically lately, and then a lot of videos on the topic of fashion. And one thing that a lot of the people that I admire from those videos kind of have in common is they all kind of say something to the effect of, I made my best stuff when I didn't care what people thought about it. Mm-hmm. I just made it because I liked it, and I just put it out, and people happened to like it, and that made me feel good about it. So that's definitely how I approach the series nowadays, mm-hmm. Rather than earlier in the series, because I do definitely think the first series was more so for other people in a way than myself.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that, you know, the Chase Your Dream series, it was just full of creatives. I think all of us really are, but I think that for you, you're just engineered that way because, like I just said, I don't like you all days, every day, because, and I jokingly say that, but I say that because it's like, I'm sort of like always impressed with the idea that you are always re-cultivating how you see yourself, and you are just, I think, one determined sister where you're just not going to be stuck in one thing. I think for the listeners, it would be sort of interesting to hear. I get this question maybe 5 times a day. Where's she going to school and what does she want to do? And I don't know. I really don't know. And I mean, I don't know where you'll land. I think it's pretty exciting. It's scary for me as a mom, not because I just don't really. Well, I'm learning to exist mm-hmm. right now with you and Landon growing up. TA just sort of broke me in, but y'all are really.
Yeah. Well, to answer this question once and for all, hopefully this will be the thing that if no one else watches, if no one else listens for anything else, hopefully they'll listen to this. Well, the answer to what I would like to do as of today is it's totally unknown. I don't know another way to like say it other than it, I just don't know. But it's not like a, that's why I just really don't go into it. And when people ask me, you know, what are you looking at? And I'm just kind of like, oh, you know, it's open, or I say something that's really basic. We were talking about this. One, I just honestly don't want a whole bunch of people to know until it's like graduation day, literally. One, for a selfish reason, that I just want to be the main thing that day. That's yeah. just it. And then the other part of that is I just don't feel like that's just something that everybody needs to know. And that's just something that I would just prefer to like share with everyone else first. Because like you said, most things about myself or most decisions I make, I literally make them that day. So like this whole college thing has been super stressful to figure out, just because that's just not the way that my mind is wired to make one decision, and that could like possibly affect the whole trajectory of life. Like, it sounds dramatic when you put it like that, but that's essentially what it is in my head. And then even going down to like picking a major, I know you can change it. You can move it around. You can make it what you want. You can do this, and that. But, you know, I think it's just all in the way my brain works, and I just am not seeing it that way. So, yeah, to go back to the answering of the question, right now it's pretty unknown where I'll go, what I'll do. I'll just do whatever makes me happy for as long as it makes me happy. But, yeah.
I think it's worth to say you might need to go back and listen to Stephanie's but no, I'm just saying that. I'm joking because she reminds us all to breathe.
Yeah, because people, I mean, it's, this is going to be the part that makes me cry, guys. I'm sorry. But I guess it's not real until it's real. So, and I did my makeup today, y'all. And this is the one day I'm going to cry, of course. But I guess, like I said, it's not real until it's real, because most people know. For as long as I can remember, I wanted to go to Chapel Hill, and I got Chapel Hill everything, like every Christmas. And then when it became time, I was like, gosh, I don't know what to do. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just watch these YouTube videos and things like that, and hopefully that'll, you know, put me on the right track. And then especially, you know, being in quarantine and things like that. Hopefully that'll put me on the right track. But one thing that I wish someone would have said earlier is like, well, what you said recently is, it was like, you won't really know until you're on campus. And so that's been really rough to try to navigate around, just like the fear of not knowing things until it's mm-hmm. kind of here. And it's almost like, as much as you prepare for something like this, you can't really prepare too much.
Yeah.
Because everything's going to still, you know, happen. But yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it. I've demolished my face.
Well, I think that you should give yourself permission to take your time. I think everything is so rushed. But I think, Chase, you have given so much of yourself for as long as I can remember. I think it's okay to be selfish in this moment. And I think that it will come. God will lead you. That is the best advice. And I think wherever you land, they're going to be better for it. You're going to be better for it. I think, though, it is worth plugging in that I was so impressed. One of your things that we have sort of been hinting around is the fact that you really have a true respect for the city of Greensboro and how you want to continue, you know, perhaps here as you, I know that could change because I know who I'm talking to.
Yeah, it probably will change tomorrow, but it actually, and guys, if you hear crinkling, it's a paper towel. But actually one thing that really made me grow respect for Greensboro was that tour we did.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about that while I fix my life.
Yeah. She's crying, literally wiping tears. But I think it is worth saying that you first shared with me. I find out, guys, from moments or when we're driving in town or having, you know, some family time or what have you, like all that's in her, down to, I didn't know she was such a creative. We hear it often, but she shared with me something. I don't know if she's going to kick me under the table or not, But one thing that just really energized me, and I could just see it happening, she had already outlined, you know, her idea to have a creative lab here in Greensboro. And I guess I better nip it because I don't have this trademarked yet.
Yeah.
But I am just so proud of the direction in which you're going and the lives that you're changing. I don't want to lose too many people by just prolonging the conversation too long, but I think it's worth sort of just talking about you for a bit because we get to hear about other people. So you mentioned
that's very much on purpose, guys, because when I talk about me, this happens.
Yeah. And so when she was so committed to UNC that I called them, and she was 9 at the time, and told them, hey, I got this little girl and she's going to be your best student. And at 10, they invited us for her birthday to surprise her to do a full tour. And at that time, it was just so beautiful to see Chase, her eyes really and heart be just opened up to the idea that, hey, this is where I'm going to be. But it's just been a true blessing that each person in the community that has had a hand in, and I tell people all the time, I think people throw around the word village just like they do love, like we got the best village, but no, seriously, we do. The drive over here, actually, her goddad called, and I mean, we just have just the truest village that really allows you to be who you are. And I am just so out of bounds thankful that you decided to say yes to your heart with this podcast. You say yes to your heart when you don't feel right about something, and you say yes to the right thing so far.
Mm-hmm. For the most part.
For the most, oh, I was coming with that.
I know. I saw your face turn. I was already ready.
Yeah. So we are just here to celebrate you and your year. Continue to be the masterclass series that you are.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. Don't end so dry. I have what one last thing. I want you to like do a cartwheel or something as we finish up.
Guys, I can't do any cartwheels. I can't ride a bike, so that's something that I actually will try to work on this year. Don't hold me to that, though.
As we close out, unless you have anything else, this is something that I caught the other day, and I knew I had to end the show on, okay, on this note.
Well, if you're going to end that way, then I'll say something and then you can end it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I want to just say my part about thank you for tuning in. I hope that you guys thoroughly enjoyed this series and this year of the Renaissance Project on January 7th. I've really appreciated this whole entire journey. I've learned so much in 1 year. I was telling someone the other day that literally felt like I've been doing this for like ever. And, you know, that's because of all of the great things, all of the not great things, and all of the people, you know, who supported from the beginning. So I really do appreciate it. And I did just want to go ahead and put out there that I will be taking another break. So you won't be getting any episodes for just a little bit, but we'll be back and better than ever sometime whenever I feel like it. So, yeah, now I'm going to pass it back over and Mom will end the episode.
Yeah, thank you all from the bottom of our hearts, her father and I, and a big shout out also. We would be remiss if we did not include Landon. He's been like,
yeah,
true rock star.
Literally, yes. Hold on, one more thing. One more big shout out to Landon, who has been to just about, I would say, 85% of the recordings. Who's taken pictures, who's been super quiet and attentive and always keeps it real throughout all the ideas. And then always just takes extra pictures because everyone just needs extra pictures. So, yeah, thanks to my main man. Thanks, Landon. He's smiling.
Yep. He over there in the cut. This is what I wanted to end with. And I feel that it's important so that it's on record and that whenever you forget, you can refer back.
Okay.
It's short, I promise.
Okay.
But it says, you, I'm talking to you, Chase, Alexandria Clark. You remind us all that when we get outside of ourselves, we can make a contribution to others, and we all can really begin to live. Unselfishness is its own reward, and it's not dependent on the response of others. I thank you.
Thank you. I just dried my face. I'm not going to cry again.
All right. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Peace out, y'all. See you on the flip. Quite emotional.
You did cry, guy. I did an Oprah on your tail.